still hear my mother singing that song. That's such a blessing. Second Peter chapter 1. Well, Richard has been after me for some time to preach on this text or to teach on it, and finally have liberty to do that. He asked me 4 years ago, but maybe not that long. But First, Second Peter are tremendous books of the Bible. And blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so to have that hunger for the Word of God, it's just such a blessing. And Peter gives us some great things to think about. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So it's something we desire, and then when the desire is met, then there's rejoicing in it. And I trust that today as we go through this message that you will grow in grace. Oh, young people, you can go. And don't eat any of the snacks yet. Save some for us. Amen. Let's begin 2 Peter. Well, let's just start in verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him, that's it repeated again, that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In 4 verses, boy, that's a powerful message there. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the third time that mentions that. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. He gives great, great instruction here, and we'll go through this and just see what the Lord has for us. Father, we hunger and thirst for your word today, and I pray that the hungry soul will be filled. I pray that you'd meet every need, teach us, give us the knowledge of our Savior, and may we grow as believers so you can use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a great, great portion of Scripture, and what I want to direct your attention to is the words, add to your faith, and then it gives you all those things to add to your faith, and so we'll see that. When you think about the Apostle Peter, man, he was a mess. I mean, he was a mess. He was a rough fisherman. He was a self-appointed spokesman. He seemed everything that he said was the wrong thing. I don't know if you've gotten that as you read through the scriptures. Now, 1 and 2 Peter are a lot different than what happened in his life and what went through in his life. In Mark chapter 9, this is on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter says, verse 5, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. I mean, what a suggestion. The work to be done was down off of the Mount of Transfiguration. There was a purpose in that. But he says, let's make three tabernacles, Moses, Elijah, and you. We'll just stay right here. This is a good place to be. But in verse 6 it says, for he wist not what to say. He didn't know what to say, so he just said something. It's better when you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Amen? Be slow to speak, swift to hear, and there's another one that goes with that anyway. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's what the third one is. But anyway, he wist not what to say, so he just said something, and the Lord wasn't real pleased with that because they had work to do. In Matthew chapter 16, remember, Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then after that, Jesus began to show and teach how he's got to go up to Jerusalem and die for our sins and be resurrected the third day. And this is what Peter said to respond to that. You ready for this? Matthew 16, 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now, just think about that. This is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. And so Jesus turns to him, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. This is two strikes. We're going to give him four strikes, but he's going to strike out anyway, even at four strikes. So you see this, and there's more instances than this. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to be tried. In Matthew 26, 35, Peter says, though I should die with thee, I'll go to prison for you, but though I should die with thee, I will never deny you. That's verse 35. In verse 70, but he denied before them all. So this was his intention, but this is what he did. This is what he said about who Jesus was, but then he said no to the will of God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you come to John chapter 21. This is after the resurrection. And Jesus is there, and Peter is there. And Jesus says, lovest thou me? And he says, yeah, you know I love you. And Jesus repeated it, lovest thou me? Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, lovest thou me? And he did it three times. Well, Peter denied him three times, remember? So he asked him three times, do you love me? And then he said, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. You come down to the end of the chapter, and Peter is there, and John is there, and Jesus is there. And Peter says, what's John going to do? What shall this man do? What's he all about? You know, get the attention off of himself. What's this guy going to do? And Jesus said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So this is Peter. I mean, there's four instances. There are more. But they're pretty big, don't you think, in a relationship with Jesus Christ? But then when you come to 1 and 2 Peter, something really changes. This man was really transformed. And we'll see what happened to Peter as we get into the message, I think it will be such a blessing. He really matured. He really grew as a Christian. And his spirit completely changed. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 32, Satan desired to have Peter that he may sift him as wheat. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee. And here's what the verse says, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter, this is what's going to happen to you. The devil's going to attack you, but I'm praying for you. And when you're changed, when you mature, when you see this, then you'll be able to strengthen the brethren. That's what 1 and 2 Peter are about, because God did that for Peter. You have 1 Peter 5:10. Peter said, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, establish, strengthen, settle you. So it came to pass. Amen? After that you have suffered a while. Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, and when you're changed, when you're converted, then you'll be able to do something. So we want that. Amen? I don't know if you've been like the first four examples. Not so, Lord, this ain't for me. You know, I think we ought to be doing this. And I mean, there's all kinds of things in there. And what about this one? I'm serving God and they're not. What about that? What is that to thee? Amen? And so you have all of those principles, but Peter left those principles, left that way of thinking and living. And now we're in 1st and 2nd Peter. Could be a long message today, but I'll kind of condense it. We won't preach the whole books. But add to your faith. He says, add to your faith. That's spiritual maturity. That's growth. We always are growing. Amen? Even the Apostle Paul said that. I have not arrived, he said. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he explains that calling. But in 1 Corinthians 3:11, the Bible says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ. Peter said we're partakers of the divine nature. We're saved. Amen. We've accepted Christ as our Savior. That's our faith in Christ. That's what we need to add to. We just don't get saved and not study, not listen, not follow on to know the Lord. We're to be doers of the word. Amen. And not hearers only. So we can grow, and we grow at any rate we want to grow. I mean, when we add to our faith these things, it's because we know the benefit and the blessing, not only to ourselves and others, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. So add to your faith. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again. That's 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. There's more instruction. And that's how Peter grew, because God gave him his word. The wise man built his house upon the rock, Matthew chapter 7. What's the rock? Jesus Christ, right? So he's building his house. When you build a house, you lay a foundation. The foundation is important. That's faith for us. Amen? And now we build upon that. So the wise man built his house upon the rock. We have in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1, every wise woman buildeth her house. The foolish plucketh it down with her hand. We have 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, the foundation is Jesus Christ. No other foundation. We just read that. So we have this idea, we have this concept of what it means to add to our faith. And that's what Peter is going to explain here. So here we are. We can all go home with something today. We can go home with a lot. We can practice some of this. And there's such a blessing if we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And there's so many places that teach this in the Bible. This is one. Matthew 16, 18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we build upon that. The church epistles give us so much instruction. The churches of Revelation, the seven churches, give us instruction. All of the Bible, the Old Testament, these things were written for our learning, for our admonition. We have the epistles. We have Timothy, Titus, written to preachers, and all of this instruction in the Bible so that we can grow in our faith. There's so many scriptures about this. Let's turn to Galatians. Turn to Galatians. We'll get over to Galatians. I hope you brought your Bible today. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 5. And there are so many of these outlines in the Bible. There's so many of these different categories. And what God does is he puts this word next to this word, next to this word, next to this word, so that each word strengthens the whole verse. Amen? So it's good and it's pleasant and it's righteous and blah, blah. You know, it goes on and on and on. And you see the power of that. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Oh, let's start verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And here, this is a rogue's gallery here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's lustfulness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, that's dissension or discord, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That is a terrible list. Amen? That is a bad list. But look, it changes. Verse 22, but of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so it gives you a different list. And so it says meekness, temperance. It says gentleness, goodness. You see how they complement one another. Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. We find the same thing true here. Ephesians chapter 4. We're told to put off the old man, and we're told to put on the new man. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's begin reading here. Oh, there's so much here that's good. 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. There's the group of words. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So you find that. Turn to Colossians. Colossians. Keep going right. Colossians chapter 3. Again, you're going to have another list. And that's because God wants to put the emphasis on what is right and the emphasis on what is wrong. Verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. There's the foundation. If you're risen with Christ, if you have faith, if you've been saved, if you're a child of God, then seek those things that are above. Verse 2. Set your affection on things above and not on things in the earth. And we come down to look at verse 8. Verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And then it talks about humbleness of mind, verse 12. Mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Again, you could read and read and read, and that's going to be solidified. It's going to be repeated. It's going to be rehearsed over and over and over, because it's line upon line, precept upon precept. God repeats it so that we get it. Verily, verily. Amen? And some things are repeated in the Word of God. The good is as well as the bad, because it's so important. So you have the works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit. You have the old man, you have the new man. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and knowledge. Grace, growth in grace produces the fruit of the Spirit. So as we grow in grace, not the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in our life. Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers. Now, I've been saved a long time. And I've been preaching a long time. I've been in church. Same with you. You know, everybody has a testimony. But for when for the time ye ought to be teachers. We ought to know. Amen? And we ought to think of all the messages you've heard since you've been in church, whenever you started going to church. Or how many times you've read through your Bible. And you've read through it and through it and through it. And what sticks? Amen? What sticks is, if we're doers of the word, they're not hearers only. If we do the word, then we're not a forgetful hearer of the word. So it's important to do that. So, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. There, you know, an older person ought to be able to eat a steak. Amen? Doesn't that sound good right now? Steak and eggs? Pancakes, Richard. Pancakes. And black coffee. Amen? Or crepes, strawberry. I better get back to the message. Amen? But we can't have meat if we haven't grown. The weightier matters of the law, the weightier things of Christ, the deep things. And we need milk again. And 1 Peter 2:2, this is what Peter said. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So as we take the milk and we act upon that, we appropriate it into our life, amen, it strengthens our body and we grow. And so pretty soon we're of full age and we're eating the meat of the word. Turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We'll just read a couple verses here. James chapter 3. And let's look at verse 10. James 3, verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? And we've talked about that word knowledge. Among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But, and here's the list again. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. For this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There's another group of words that God is showing us. They all say the same thing. Amen? Put these away, put these off, put these on, live this way, be this way, be filled with the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the works of the flesh. So we come back to that. So by now we should have the idea of what Peter is going to show us. Amen? And he gives us all of these truths. For example, add to your faith virtue. That's a good thing to add to your faith. Amen? Do you know what virtue is? Virtue is moral goodness. It is voluntary obedience to the truth of God. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. So it's virtue that is far above rubies. And so if we add that to our faith, that is a good thing. Amen? What is it in Corinthians? It says, whatsoever is good and faithful and pure and all of that, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So that's where our mind goes, and that's where the battle is. Amen? The mind, what we think about. Because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So add to your faith virtue. Submit to the will of God and the word of God, and voluntarily obey it. Then we add to virtue knowledge. It's not a long list, but it's in your Bible in 2 Peter 1 that you can look at anytime and go through it so that you can add these things. Add to virtue knowledge. That is learning, but it's not just knowledge. It's like illumination. It's enlightenment. It's real to us, and we believe it with all our heart. But it says there in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. How are we taught of God to love one another? Well, the Spirit, but the Spirit guides us into the Word. So we go in the Word, which is alive, the Holy Spirit, which lives in us, and they both say the same thing, and we're taught of God how to love one another. Amen? That's a good thing to add. You have faith. Amen? You've got to have faith. That's the foundation. Without that, everything kind of falls apart. But then you have virtue. And then you have this next thing, which is knowledge. Then we go on a little bit from there. Add to your faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge, add to knowledge temperance. This is a good one. This is calmness. This is moderation. Galatians 5, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, meekness, temperance. See the word that goes with it? And so these nine words, the fruit of the Spirit, complement one another. And these words here complement one another. So you have faith, amen? And are we all on the same page? Then you have virtue. Then you have knowledge. Are we doing good? Then you have temperance. Okay, yeah, I've got you covered. I'm to number four. Amen? This is how I live my life. I'm saved, and I have knowledge of it, and I have temperance, and I have all these things, and man, I'm living the good life. Yeah, but we don't stop there, because he gives us the rest of these truths for us. And they're a blessing. They're a great blessing. Okay, let's go on. Add to temperance, patience. There's a good one. And we're all patient, right? And we talk about waiting for a train. You're going to wait patiently or impatiently. But there's so much more to it in the Bible. Patience. Add to temperance, patience. A calm temper which bears evils without murmuring or discontent. When he was reviled, he reviled not again, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so that's patience. So James tells us that tribulation worketh patience. Well, tribulation don't work patience for me. When I'm in tribulation, man, I am a bear to be around. You don't want to be around me when I'm having a problem and trouble. And so isn't that a good thing to put on our faith? Amen? So we're growing. That's a wonderful way to live the Christian life. And so you have this great, great list. Here's Titus 2:2. That the aged men be sober. Here's the list. Grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And the aged women likewise. And then there's a list there. Because God wants us to have the fulfillment of that. Unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So he gives us this little list. It's just an outline. But the scriptures flood into every one of those words. And if we memorize the Bible and it's in our heart, the Holy Spirit will bring back to our mind where, yeah, I read that over in Galatians 5. Yeah, I read that over in Ephesians 4. Yeah, that's what Paul's telling Timothy. And that's what he writes to Titus. I remember that. And so we go there and we see how to fulfill this. Because this is just a wonderful truth that God is offering all this to us. It's not just faith. Yeah, I'm saved. Amen. Yeah. No, there should be some kind of a joy in this. So we come to Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, here's another list, and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What will all of that produce? We add to our faith virtue. We add to virtue knowledge. We add to knowledge temperance. We add patience. We add all of these things. And we're growing. And we're growing. And it's doing something for our spirit. It's called spiritual maturity. It's called being filled with the Spirit of God. It's called walking in the light as he is in the light. Amen? It's a blessing. But then, after all of that, that's five things. That's faith and the other four things. We come to the last two. And these last two need the foundation. These last two are being built upon patience, upon temperance, upon knowledge. Amen? So there's no mistake in this order. And you'll see that when we get finished with it. The next one is add to patience, godliness. I didn't give you the fifth one yet. And that is piety. That is belief in God. That is reverence. That is respect for the word of God and God. Reverence is the key to ethics. It's the key to proper behavior. If you have reverence for your parents, there's no problem obeying parents. So reverence is a good thing. And Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness. Okay, I got that. Now, what will all of that produce? We have those principles. The next one, add to godliness, brotherly kindness. That's a big one. Brotherly kindness. That is goodwill, benevolence, disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. That's a good thing. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. Amen? So we love one another. Well, yeah, but I mean, you got some faults. Everybody here has some faults. Amen? The thing that brings us together, remember we preached on fellowship? Our fellowship is with Jesus Christ. And so because our fellowship is with him, we have fellowship one with another. We're in the same body. We're in the same family. Amen? Let brotherly love continue. I think that's such a good verse. 2 Corinthians 6:6. By pureness, another list, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, and verse 7, add to brotherly kindness. I'm sorry. I got so much written down here that I'm getting confused, a little confused. So you add all of these things together, and it brings out brotherly kindness. You ever in a bad mood? No? You ever get in a bad mood? Yeah, we all get in a bad mood. Isn't it tempting when you're in a bad mood to respond wrong? Amen? And if you respond wrong, no big deal. We all do it from time to time. Amen? Boy, okay, no confession time. But that's the exception, and that's not the rule of our life. We all have a chink in our armor. We all have a weak link in our chain. Amen? We all have our ups and downs, always. But brotherly love should continue and win the day. That's a good thing. Now, what is the last one? Charity. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You want to turn over there? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is absolutely amazing. Another list. Boy, there's so many lists. But the reason God puts them in the Bible is so that we can compare the words and we can get used to seeing that principle, those things. Chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long. This is what charity is. And is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I drank milk like a child. I thought as a child, I just added that one, if you remember. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is charity. And there's your list. Well, I'm not going to remember all that on the way home. No, that's why it's written down. Amen? And we ought to read it from time to time. And we ought to take account. We ought to say, Lord, how am I doing with charity? How am I doing with patience? How am I doing with virtue? How am I doing with godliness? And we look at these things and we understand what the word means. And we want to add that to our life so that we can be a blessing to other people. Amen? Because charity is so vital. It's so important. It's so wonderful. One more. Look over at Colossians, back to Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and look with me at verse 9. Colossians 1, 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And it goes on. Patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Brotherly kindness. And add to brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you, you won't be unfruitful. You'll bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, even the fruit of souls. If these things be in you, you won't be unfruitful. They're spiritual blessings. If you lack these things, you're blind and you cannot see afar off. And there's spiritual blindness there. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. That's spiritual strength. This is a powerhouse. Amen? And this is something, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. So all we need is the desire, and God will guide us through the scriptures. And it's the Spirit that fills us, that enables us. Amen? What's Psalm 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Amen? The tree is planted, the roots go down, the tree doesn't go to bear fruit. The tree is just planted in the water, in just where God wanted it to be planted. And it brings forth fruit. Over and over. I mean, in every epistle, in every book of the Bible, you have these same principles. God wants to bless us. God wants to add to our faith. Amen? It's not just getting saved. It's not just coming to church and going through something. It's, give me something today, the Lord. Lord, give me something that's going to change my life. And I'll go home and just be so blessed by it. 2 Peter 1:12. Wherefore, Peter says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. Say, yeah, I read that. And Peter says, I'm not going to be negligent to not remind you of this. He goes on and says, as long as I am in this tabernacle, I'm going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So the idea, even Paul told Timothy, he says, if you do this, if you keep them in remembrance of these truths, you can look it up in Timothy. He says, you'll be a good minister. I want to be a good minister. Not a good speaker. I want that too. Amen? Amen? Yeah, amen. Okay. But you want to be what the Lord wants you to be. So you have to remind. So this comes back to our mind. Am I growing? Am I adding to my faith? These are important things. Build a relationship with God. Build a relationship with people. Build a church. I lied. One more text. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll just read this and then we'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's begin in verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now, we're going to look at three words here. In, by, and as. There's another group here, and it's divided into three portions, but there's several verses for each portion. In, by, and as. Here's the first one, verse 4. in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in strifes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Now we go to by. How do we do that? By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. And so here it leads us to the third word, as. As unknown and yet well known, as dying, behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Boy, that's something to think about. And we'll close with that, and you can think about that on your way home, or we might talk about it in Sunday school. But how do I get through this? By this, by this, by this, by the Holy Spirit, by pureness, by knowledge, by the Word of God, and all of that God's given me so I can endure, so I can go on, so I can take care of this. Amen? And be a good testimony that the ministry be not blamed. Man, if that's a Christian, I don't want anything to do with it. You go, what church? Man, I'm never going that. You don't want that. Amen? But you're a Christian. Boy, I've noticed that in your life. I've seen the light in your face. I know the spirit that you... Boy, that's what I want. That's what I need. I need Christianity. I need salvation. Where do you go to church? Yeah, that's where I mean, that's what it ought to be. Amen? So add to your faith, and it gives you those things to add. And when you come to charity, the greatest of these is charity. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word today. Your precious word. Thank you for it. I pray that it would be profitable. I pray it would find good ground. It's certainly good seed. May it find tender hearts. May we all grow because of what you've said to us today. For your honor and glory, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.